Welcome to the Torben Sondergaard podcast. Join us each episode as Torben shares practical instruction and experiences on how to make disciples, spread the gospel, and live in anticipation of the day of the Lord.
Hey, good morning. It's early morning here. I just want to share something with you. I think it's going to help many of you or bless you. I want to talk about how life is so unfair. And I want you to stay with me here because I'm not bitter, I'm not hurt, and I want to tell you why in the end. But first, a little about how life is unfair. Like this morning, we just moved to a new house, our home we have rented in Mexico. And woke up this morning, the toilet did not work, down on all four, and it was just stuffed with a lot of dirt and so on. So I had to clean the toilet and get it to work so the water could run in and all of that. And I started my day on all four to fix the toilet. Yesterday evening before I went to bed, I needed to go to a shop to buy a hammer and buy some tools because I don't have any tools. Not because the toilet, but because something else I need to fix. I don't have anything. We are living out of four suitcases. And life is hard and it seems so unfair. Back in Denmark, we had it all. We had a beautiful, beautiful big training center. I actually had a lot of tools. I had inherited a lot of tools. My father had died sometimes before and got his tools. And I had all the tools I needed. I had a car that worked. I had things that just worked. And we had a training school with people from all over the world who came to get trained. We often had people from 30 nations. And we had a beautiful, beautiful place. We had spent a lot of time fixing up and it was just running really good. And then persecution came from the government. Persecution came. I was all over TV. Lies, lies, lies. People who was renting our center, they canceled. Students who could come in, they canceled. Why? Because of all the things that was going on. No one dared to come there because of all the problems and we couldn't go out on the street like we did before. And we left Denmark. We lost our beautiful, beautiful training center and all my tools, all the things we had, we left it all. And we came to America with 8 suitcases. In America, we 2-3 years, we got our life up running again. We rented a house. We bought some tools. We had some things again. And after 3 years, we have got the life running again. And we had a beautiful work in, we were supposed to start in California. Then persecution came again. Lies, the same people. I was arrested, put into jail for over a year. Lies, 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 human trafficking, weapons smuggling. Some people say I've overstayed my visa and didn't pay tax. That is also all lies. I've always kept the rules, the laws. And I was thrown into jail. We got another house while I was in jail because my wife and them needed to move to another house. And they got another house. Friends helped to fix it up and make it ready. But I never came into that house because I was deported. And we had friends who needed to help to pack down our stuff, our things. And that is now stored up in containers in California. And we are deported with 4 suitcases. So we came to America with 8. And then we are deported with 4. And now we are in Mexico. Have been living out of 4 suitcases for half a year. And the last half year, we lived 6-7 different places. I lost my salary. I cannot get salary. So things become suddenly more complicated to live again. Life is hard. And I just feel, I can feel it's so unfair. I had things. I had tools. I got a salary. I had a car that worked. I was not living like a big, big life, but I had what I needed and I was doing good. And we have a school. We have friends around me and it was really, really beautiful. And then we lost it all because of lies. because of false accusations. And now it's very complicated, again, to live out of false suitcases and don't have any tools and things don't work and things break down and everything. Why do I say that? Because if I really focus on this, it can seem so unfair, because it is unfair. I can become very bitter. Because why? Why do I lose all of this? Why do I lose all of those things? Why do I lose a training school? We have spent a lot of time on fixing up. That was doing good and we saw a lot of fruit. But it's really how we see things. And I need to choose, and you also need to choose in your life, to focus on the right thing. Listen here. In Denmark, we had a beautiful training school, and yes, we saw amazing fruit. Yes, we saw so many people got their life changed, and it was beautiful. But we left it and came to America. Yes, we lost everything we had, but those 3 years in America, we had 3.5 years, we saw so much fruit. We met so many beautiful people we have not known if we have stayed in Europe. We saw hundreds of thousands of life chains baptized. We saw hundreds of fellowship starts. We saw new groups. We saw so much fruit in America those 3 years. And that had not happened if we have stayed in Denmark. And those people in Europe, they keep going, they keep running with it, even we are not there. Then I was put in jail. But even there, I saw fruit. There was life, there was change. I baptized people. I started communities, fellowship, house groups, Bible studies in jail. And that had not happened if I've not been there. And at the same time, God revealed his word to me about the kingdom of God in a way I've never seen before. And so many things was revealed. And I'm coming out with 2 books here. 1 book about my testimony and 1 book about the teaching of the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom. And that had not happened if I had not been in jail. Yes, then we were deported out. And it was so hard to be away from our friends and family. And now we're in Mexico. But the other day, we met a homeless guy. We had a meeting, and a homeless guy, he got born again and got healed in the arm. I actually put the video in here. I recorded just 3 minutes video clip. I think I can put it in here.
Come on, how is it?
¿Cómo se siente?
Mucho mejor.
Sí, mucho mejor.
Hey, come on! Come on. This guy, he was a homeless guy, was found out on the street today. He came, he got baptized in water. His arm was stiff. He couldn't lift his arm and bend it. And right there, he just got filled with the Holy Spirit and he got healing his arm. Come on.
And this guy, he got a hotel that night and is now connected to the fellowship. This have not happened if we have not come here. Yesterday, I was with 7 pastors and their wives and leaders and was sharing, and we are working with them and training them. And one of the wives, she stood up with tears in her eyes and said, I've come back to the first love. I have come back to the first love. And we are so excited for this. And another husband wife, they repented and said, we had to go out on the street more and things I have in our life. And transformation are happening in those churches. And again, that had not happened if I have not been thrown in jail, if I have not been deported, if I have not ended here. I choose to look at the people and the transformation that is happening in their life instead of the hard things I need to go through. Yes, I don't have a lot of money. Yes, I need to go and buy a hammer to fix a hot toilet. Yes, we have moved around. Yes, we live out of four suitcases. Yes, life is hard and it's complicated. But those people I meet now, I have not met if this had not happened. And I just choose to see it like this. Then you can say, yeah, but Torben, if you have been back in Denmark, if you have been back in America and you have had your things and things have been easier, there you have also met other people and seen life change there. Yeah, that is correct. But I've not met those people here. And I know God have a plan and I know he have a purpose. So I just want to end up and say to all of you, life is hard, but focus on the right thing. Focus on the people you are meeting and the life you are blessing. And then everything become okay. It's okay. I need to lay on all four and fix a toilet when it have a purpose. And what is that? That life of being transformed. And I know I'm in the will of God. I know God have a purpose with me. And then the other things don't matter so much. So I just want to encourage you out there. It's okay. Life is hard. It's part of it. It helps us to build character. It helps us to die to self. It helps us to get the right focus. Because another thing is that when you are living the good life, the American dream, it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to lose your focus. It's so easy to get lukewarm and come away from what really matters in life. And what matters, that is people. Love God and love your neighbor. That is what matters, that we love God with everything in us and we serve him and we love our neighbor and we reach out to other people around us. So I just want to encourage you in this video, have the right focus, and this is what we need. Otherwise, I will get bitter, I will get angry, I will have unforgiveness in my heart, but I've chosen I will not have unforgiveness toward anyone. I will not get bitter, I will not get angry. I will just receive it with a joy and say, okay, I don't like it always, but it's part of building me up to become the man God want me to do, be to die to self, to humble myself and to build character. And it helped me to be where God want me to be and reach out and love my neighbor around me. And one day, hopefully, I will stand in front of him as a good and faithful servant that have been faithful in what God had given me. And if God took away the sender and left me without that, I don't want to have that back, because I want to be faithful with God what want me to be in. If that is a big training center in Denmark, that was amazing, or was that was a homeless guy here in Mexico, I want to be faithful with it.
Hey, one out there, this is Tom Søndergaard from Mexico. I did a video 2 weeks ago called Life is Unfair, I Lost It All. And that video have got over 40,000 views, and I got a lot of response for that video. A few days ago, I then wrote a comment, if there's people have more questions to me, things they want me to talk about when it comes to my case and my life and everything that's happened, come with some questions. And I got a lot of questions, and I'm going to look at some of them today. But most of them is actually dealing with the heart, dealing with the same issues I talked about in other video, that life is unfair. And I need to talk about that. And I think I'm going to call this video, Guard Your Heart. Life is unfair. Because life is unfair, and I want to say right away, get used to it. Get used to it. Life is fair. No, life is unfair. Get used to it. But guard your heart in it. Should life be fair for you and me? That is the question. Do we get what we deserve? I feel I've got a lot of things I did not deserve. I got a lot of lies. I got enemies that is lying and treating me wrong. I was put in jail, I was deported, I'm in a no man's land right now, and I don't know exactly how the future look in some areas. And there's many things that can seem unfair. But I want to say, get used to it. Life is unfair. And God have not promised us fair. especially not on this side on eternity. If we look at Christ, the most holy man on earth, without sin, there was no blame in him. He did not do anything wrong, but he was captured, arrested, whipped, crucified, mocked, all of it. Was life fair for him? And you can maybe think, yeah, but that is Jesus. I just feel life is unfair and I don't get what I deserve. And I want to say it like this. Be thankful you don't get what you deserve. Because if we should get what we deserve, we will all be lost in our sins, without hope in this world and without any future. Why? Because we have all sinned. We have all broken God's law. So we don't get what we deserve. We get grace. We don't get what we deserve. We get forgiveness. We did not deserve any of that. When then look at life, and life is unfair, I want to say it like this. Yes, probably in this life, it seems like that. But one day, everything will be turned around. When I was in prison, I loved reading Psalms. And Psalms 37 is one of them. I have it here. It said here, do not worry of those who are evil or be envy of those who do wrong. Don't be envy of other people who are evil and still be blessed. And they are blessed. And sometimes we are like this. Here I am serving God. I am doing everything right. And life don't go the way I want it to go. And I'm being punished by it. I'm having a hard life. For my case, I was put in jail and I was going through a lot of things. And I was not the one who did wrong. It was those evildoers who do wrong. Life is unfair. Why do they come away with lying, stealing, doing wrong when I, who have not done this, am not blessed? And this is what Psalms 37 is saying. Do not worry of those who do evil or be envy of those who do wrong. Why? For like grass, they will soon wither, and the green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good, and dwell in the land and rejoice safe past. Take delight in you, in the Lord, and he will give your heart's desire. If you read the home Psalms, it is really with focus on one day. One day, right now is unfair. Right now, evildoers seem more blessed than some of us do. But don't be envy of them. Don't worry about them, because maybe they are blessed now and maybe their life looks like they have success now, but one day they will all wither like grass. But Psalms continues, 37 continues, that the wicked will die. And then it continues, but the upright, but Lord upholds the righteous, and the righteous will inherit the land. The righteous will be blessed. One day, in the end of this age, maybe before, but at least in the end of this age, when our Lord Jesus returns, then everything will be upside down or right side up. So don't be envy of those who seem blessed, who seems like you don't understand how can they be so evil and look like they have a good life. No, fear the Lord and have your focus on eternity. I want to start with this because otherwise you will be bitter, you will get hurt, and life will just really seem unfair. I want to answer some of the questions that came in. There was a lot of questions I got and really have to do with this. One wrote here, can you share about forgiveness and not holding to offense, especially with those who spread lies about you? What was that process like for you and how do you keep your heart soft? And one of the reasons is this. don't be envious of those. Don't look at those because they're staying today, but tomorrow they'll be thrown into the fire. Soon they will wither and die. But those who fear the Lord, they will inherit the land. It's not right now. It's not right now. Right now it seems unfair. Right now they seem more blessed than I am right now. But one day it will change. And I think one of the things is to really get your eyes on eternity and see and be thankful for the forgiveness our Lord Jesus has given us. Because if we got what we deserve, we will still be lost in our sins, but we got what we did not deserve. And so it have to do with right focus. Look with the right glasses. Look in the light of the Bible, in the light of the truth, in the light of eternity, and not just in light of here and now. And that is the answer for most of the things. There was one person who asked here, how can you ever trust people again? And that had to do with I was being betrayed by one of my guys I worked with years ago, and he was one of the main reasons I went to jail. And you can see that in my timeline on TorbenSondergaard.com. How can I ever trust people again? Because God, he is faithful, and because God is in control. Often say like this, I've said it before and you heard me say it, Jesus needed a Judas. He could do without John, James and Peter, but he could not do without Judas. Judas was the only apostle or disciple in Jesus' life that was necessary for him to fulfill the call of God, go into the cross. Like he needed a Judas, we all need a Judas. If there's people who betray us, if there's people who do things, I truly believe it's because God, he allowed it to happen. And therefore, I can trust people again. Why? Because God is faithful. And I trust God that God will not let things happen to me if I seek him and do his will that is outside that. He's faithful. And if I've been betrayed by people, it's because he still allowed it to happen and everything worked for good for those who love him. Those who according to his plan are called. So it really to be fast to forgive. And how can you forgive? You can forgive because you know that God have a purpose and a plan with it. And we have to come away from that idea that God's purpose and plan is that we will be blessed in this world. It's not the American bless me gospel we are preaching. We are preaching the true gospel and being conformed to our Lord Jesus Christ. Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed and become like our Lord Jesus. And he learned obedience through his suffering. So how much more do you and I not need to learn obedience through suffering? And that is the thing. Next question asks, did you feel angry? And did you feel angry? And did you feel abandoned by the Lord when I was in prison? And I want you to say, angry on God? No, never. Never. 27 years, I have never one time, I think so, really, if I remember, never one time be angry at God. Never one time be angry at God. Life has been unfair. I've been hurt. I've been treated wrong. I've lost a lot. I cried. I felt the pain, but I never one time be angry at God. Why? First thing that if God allowed it to happen is because he have a plan and a purpose with it. Me being angry at God don't help that plan and purpose to have it. At the same time, I recognize at the same time God is in control that we have an enemy. And he is here to lie, to destroy, lie, steal and destroy. He is there to destroy us. And I don't want to blame God for something the enemy is doing. I don't want to blame God for things. It's our stupidity sometimes things happen. never be angry of God. I think this is the fear of the Lord I had with the Israelites. They did not come into the promised land because they complained all the time. Read that 1 Corinthians 10. How it was better at that time, and life is unfair. Why do we eat manna? And I want something else, and then they get meat. Life is unfair. We want something. We are thirsty, and then they get something to drink. Life is unfair. It was better back then. And because of their complaining, they did not enter into the promised land. God looked very serious of this. So did I feel abandoned by God? I did. Truly, I did. Especially one time in jail, 13th of December, I think it was, lost my case first time. It was just like Psalm 22 came to me, my Lord, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? I've never felt so forsaken in my life. And I have a whole chapter about it in my book. And I put a link in here where you can actually read some of the things for the book is out now. I never feel so abandoned in my whole life. And it was really hard to be there. But God also used that, like I've seen He have used every other things. And I saw that God was there, even I felt abandoned. It's not so much what you feel and what I feel, because feelings is lies. Feelings is not what we live by. We live by faith and not by feelings. So yes, I felt abandoned in jail. I've often felt abandoned. I've often not gone the way I wanted to, but we walk not by sight, but by faith and not by feelings. And we know that God is faithful. We know that God is good. We know that everything works for good for those who are called. And we know that God, He can get the best out of every situation in our life. And it helped to transform us to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that we have an inheritance waiting for us one day. And one day there'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, no more of all of this. But that day is not here right now. That day is one day. And it's so again, it really come down to have the right focus in life. Somebody wrote here, I feel angry on your behalf, but praise God that you are free and continue in your ministry. And I want to say to you and everyone else, don't feel angry on my behalf. Please, don't feel angry. God have not promised us fair. He have promised us eternal life. He has promised us something much better and much more eternal than fair here and now. And if you, again, if you look at the eternity, it was not God punished me by letting it happen. It was God blessing me and transforming me because He had a work for me that need to be done, and He had a work in me He need to be done. And not only with this time I was in jail, with all the troubles we have gone through, and they are many. If you go to Psalms 34, we read, the righteous person have many troubles. Yeah. The righteous person have many troubles, but the Lord deliver him from them all. 35 verse 19. So we have many troubles. Sinners have troubles. We have many troubles. But what is the difference with the troubles of the sinners and the saints is that the sinners, they will die in their sins. But we will be rescued one day. And one day we, when we finish the race with and endure to the end, we will inherit the land. And that leads me to the next question. Did God warn you not to go to the place where you were arrested? I will actually say, I haven't said this before, but I actually had a lawyer who warned me and said, don't go, Torben, because there is something fishy, there is something wrong, there is something off. when they called me in because nothing makes sense. And I went anyway. Why? Because I sought God and said, God, shall I go? And he said, go. He actually gave me a word that came to me. I tried to shake it off. Luke, Matthew 10, where Jesus said, when they arrest you. And I was like, oh no. And I actually said to some friends the day before, there's actually a big chance I'll be arrested. Did I fully believe it? Inside, no. I not like that. When I said goodbye to my wife, it was not like see you in 1 year. No, it was like see you in 3 days. No, I did not expect it, but I still have in mind that it could happen. Why did I go? I went because God said go. And also because I don't want to live illegal in the country. I don't, if they wanted to talk to me, I wanted to go. I don't want to run around thinking that people are after me and there is issues. And I was in jail with many people who lived illegal in America, and most people got deported out, and then 3 weeks later they went over the border back to America. And I said to them, again and again and again, I don't understand you. I don't understand why you want the American dream so much that you are ready to live illegal in a country and need to fear all the time that you will be stopped by the police and deported. I'd rather live in any other country where it's much poorer and much different and then be free. So no, I was not interested in not going. And I spoke and God led me there. If you look at Jesus, there was times they tried to capture him. Before, in the beginning of his ministry, after he spoke, I think it was beginning of Luke actually, and when he spoke first time, they actually tried to push him over the cliff. But Jesus just walked through them. They wanted to arrest him before, but his time have not come yet. But one day his time came. Why was Jesus not arrested 1 year, 2 years, 3 years before? Because his time was not there yet. Paul, many times they make a plot to kill him. In beginning Damascus, they put him over the wall in a basket. We saw 40 Jews who make a promise and an oath that they would not eat and drink before he was dead. There was people again and again who wanted to kill Paul. Again and again, God saved him. But sometimes he delivered him from prison, like Acts 16 with Silas. But other time, Acts 28, he was in house arrest for 2 years. Why? Why didn't God deliver him one time and not did it another time? Because God, there was a reason for it. Why were he 2 years in house arrest? Because I believe person, because there we got Ephesians, Colossians, some of the letters Paul wrote, Galatians. We got those letters while he was in house arrest 2 years in Rome. If he had been delivered in Rome the same way he was in Ephesus, we have not had those letters. So I'm thankful for that. If you then look at Peter, he was wake up from an angel and delivered from prison. Why? Because Herod wanted to kill him probably the day after because he had just killed James. But it was not Peter's time yet. It was not Paul's time yet. But later it became their time. And God did not arrest him, and they both died as martyr for Christ. So there is a time and there is not a time. And it happened with a purpose and with a reason, because God is in control and we need to walk with him and understand God's plan for our life. So many of the Christians have to do with all of this, with the heart and anger and bitterness. And that's why I want to focus on this. I just have a few more questions that have to do with something else. I just want to answer that short. And then I actually want to pray for you. Torben, if you're able to share how Lena and the daughters are right now, your time in prison was massive, hard for them also. And I want to say yes. And I want to say we are all still impacted by it, to be honest. We are good, but we are still impacted. It's still sitting in us. If I go out and Lene cannot get a hold of me and I don't answer, there's still that fear that I'm not coming home. You know, that there's still that thing that is still not easy. And we are still impacted by it, of course, because we don't live a normal life. There's a lot of questions we still have about the future. And life is not fair for my girls who's with me here and our son who's in Denmark. Life is not fair, but have God promised it to be fair? That is the question again. And I would rather, don't misunderstand me, see my kids suffer for a short time and be glorified in all eternity with Jesus Christ than live the American dream right now and then lose Christ in all eternity. So for me, it's really not about life being fair and easy. It's about God have his way with us. And there I can say that God is working all of us and God have his way and he is faithful. And we truly believe that we will come out of this on the other side and we see fruit. We already see a lot of fruit right now. Next question, short, and I just take a short here. Can you share with us some of the interactive you have with the guards and how they treat you? And how they treat you, sorry. Some of the guards was very nice. There was a few who was very nice, and there was some who was just terrible. One of the nice guards, I actually came to him one day and looked at him and said, "You have not been here a long time. How many months have you been here?" He was very surprised. 4 months. Like, how did you know, Torben? "Because you are so human," I said. He was so human. He have not been there long enough to be cold-hearted. The environment just do something with you. And there was some of them that was very scary and very intimidated. You really didn't like, and they treat you very wrong, and they wanted to use their power, their authority. And some was nice. But I can share a lot more about that another day. But especially the ICE officer, that was terrible. That was people who lied to me and tried to put fear in me and sign papers. And I was not allowed to talk with the lawyer and so on. So I had some really, very, very interesting experience. And I will bring that up another day where I have more time. Last question I just want to take here, and then I'll pray for you, is how should Western Christian prepare for the coming persecution? There's a lot to say in that. One of the things I really see is we need the true gospel. And when I think the true gospel is not just being born again in a good way, like with repentance, baptism, water, Holy Spirit. We need to have this right understanding. I was saved years ago in the faith movement background. And there is good things everywhere. And I was blessed with some of the teaching I got. But I saw in that small church I was in, it was not part of the faith movement in America like that. I just saw the bless me gospel, how unbiblical it is. And if you grow up with that mindset that life is fair and you will be blessed and everything will be good and give your life to Christ and you will have few troubles, you will be heard and you will not be prepared for what is coming. And I really have in my heart to talk about being real. I love the book of Job. Oh, I love that in prison. It makes so much sense with Job. And it is a story of a man being truly blessed by God. Blessed not only with double as many cows and animals, like donkeys and what it was, sheep and all of that. Not that he was blessed just with that and a big family in the end, but he said, "I have heard about you, but now my eyes have seen you." That was what he got out of his time of trials. And I want to talk about trials another time because we just need to be prepared for it. So this is what I want to say to you out there. We need to be real and go back to the Bible and read it as it is and see that God have not just promised us success in this life. Jesus said in Mark 10, and I'll end up with this. Jesus said, everyone who have left father, mother, homes, fields for my name's sake will get hundredfold in this life together with persecution and eternal life. So persecution will always be there. And there is a blessing in this life. But sometimes the blessing is not exactly the same what we left. God can bless us in many areas in life. And I am blessed. I have many friends. I have many of you out there who love me. Oh, I see a lot of fruit. And that is being blessed. So I'm not blessed when we look at the prosperity gospel. I'm not blessed, but I'm blessed when we look at the kingdom. Not only on this side of eternity, but in the world to come. And this, I think this is, we need to have a change in our mindset, change in the gospel we are preaching, change in our focus. We have to be more about Christ and less about us, more about the life to come, less about this life right now. And if we don't get that, I think most people will be hurt, be angry at God, become bitter, and lose their faith. And then they will not inherit all of this God has for them. And that's why it's so, so important that we start to talk about it. And I think I want to do that in another video soon. God bless you. That's what I want to share here from my heart. I hope that I bless you. There was a lot of different things I shared. You can always go back and see the video again. Please share it to other people out there. Please like it and so on, because I feel those videos need to come out to more people. And if you see it on YouTube and like it and subscribe, it will start something so the videos come out to more and more people. And I would like people to hear this because we really, truly need some people who speak what I'm speaking here. And probably you don't hear this so many other places right now. So God bless you all out there. I hope that makes sense to you. And let's pray. God, I thank you for everyone who's here and pray that none of them will get angry. None of them will be bitter and hurt, but they will trust you, God, and they will forgive of their heart. And they'll be able to trust people again because you are faithful and you know what they can handle. And you don't let them stand in front of something they cannot handle. You have a way out of it all, God. God, and let us focus on Christ and being not conformed to this world, but be transformed to the image of our Lord Jesus and live the life he has for us as disciples. And then one day, God, we will inherit the land and all the things you have for us. Help us to get our focus not on this life alone that is unfair, but get our life on the eternity and the kingdom to come. God, you will be done and your kingdom come, God, here on earth. We thank you for this day and I pray your blessing over everyone, that they will seek you and find you and live with you, the life you have for them, the life you have for all of us. We love you and thankful for this life, God, because you are good. Amen. God bless you. That was what I want to share here. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Torben Sondergaard podcast. For more information and resources, please visit TorbenSondergaard.com.